Hi, everybody. I thought that we'd take a short break from looking at Mark's Gospel this week and consider some verses in Acts. As you will know, Acts is the story of the first Christians finding their way around unknown spiritual territory as they learn to follow Jesus. It's the Acts of the Apostles. In this account, we read of the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, but here he is called Saul, and he hasn't yet met with Jesus, but things are about to change. Please pause the podcast and read the first 19 verses of Acts chapter 9. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Saul's conversion has got to be one of the most dramatic meetings of Jesus. And it's particularly interesting as Saul didn't meet Jesus in the flesh, just as we don't walk the earth with a physical Jesus like his first disciples did. This Damascus Road experience is part of our lexicon. It's also caused some of us who have had less dramatic experiences of Jesus to question whether they are really real. Surely an experience of an all-powerful and majestic God should be dramatic like the one Saul had. But there are many, many more encounters with God, both now and in centuries gone past, that are quite frankly mundane, simple and ordinary. In the New Testament, in 1 Kings 19, God spoke to Moses not in a strong wind or earthquake, but in a still, small voice. And unlike other rabbis who taught people with great stories about the patriarchs, Jesus told stories about housewives and farmers, seeds and slaves, yeast, trees and disrespectful sons. Just everyday things. And he continues to speak to us today through bread and wine and people and the Bible and creation. Jesus is supernatural and many of us can testify to dramatic, transcendent events, but thankfully he also uses everyday things. In the Bible, Jesus often poses questions, leaving people to ponder, and only later do they come to a realisation that they've been changed by his presence. It's not always dramatic like Saul experienced. Just think of those who met with the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. They had a 7-mile walk with Jesus and didn't even recognise it at the time. So all of this is just to say that whilst we love the dramatic, and we should expect God to surprise us because he is supernatural, I find that he normally speaks in simple, undramatic ways. And I think this actually means we have to be a lot more alert and watch out for him. It puts the onus on us to become aware of his presence. So back to Saul. Saul was a Pharisee, passionate about Judaism, weeding out those who tried to bring in new ideas which opposed the traditions of their fathers. Pharisees cared very much about keeping Judaism pure. This was good, but they weren't open to exploring what God was doing in and through Jesus, only in preserving old traditions. As the leadership team and life group leaders were considering yesterday as part of our away day, our character traits, even the positive ones, can become negative. For example, we might enjoy pleasing people, but this can lead to needing their approval. We might want to stay positive, but this means we don't confront our difficulties. Or we might want to stand up for injustice, but this could lead to us becoming intimidating. There is such a thing as too much of a good thing. In Saul's bid to uphold the law, he went overboard, becoming self-righteous and blinded to Jesus. His commitment even led him to witness violence towards those who follow Jesus, including Stephen. We read about this in Acts 22, verse 21. And Paul writes, "I was there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." At this time, Christianity was seen as a sect of Judaism. Known as followers of the way, Christians were upsetting the status quo and undermining Judaism. Judaism taught that a prophet would free the Jews from tyranny, And Jesus had done no such thing, certainly not as far as the Roman domination was concerned. The Jews were still outwardly very much oppressed. Stephen was one of those who believed that Jesus, a criminal, once scorned by society, a mere man, had claimed to be God. In Saul's mind, the way was outrageous, and this ridiculous notion needed to be nipped in the bud. Followers of the way even believed this Jesus had come back to life despite being executed. So Saul is on his way to Damascus to take letters to the religious authorities there, enabling him to return to Jerusalem with Christians as prisoners, when Jesus chooses to meet Saul. Saul might have been spiritually blind, but now the brilliant light Jesus appeared in physically blinds him for a time. You couldn't make this stuff up. Saul knows he has encountered God, not through keeping the law, not through reading the Torah, but in his heart, as he cries out, "Lord," and falls to his knees. We might expect Jesus to ask Saul, "Why are you persecuting my followers?" But instead, the voice says, "Why do you persecute me?" Saul thought he was attacking people for heresy, but in reality, despite keeping to all the ancient traditions, he'd got it wrong and was attacking God, the one he served. Jesus felt the pain. Some years ago, when I was struggling with something, a friend of mine just said the simple words to me, "I feel your pain." And it meant the world to me to have someone understand and go through and know what I was coping with. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus feels your pain. That might be all you need to hear today. But for those of you that want to hear more, like Saul, I guess there are times when we have all said or done something which we believe to be right, and then looking back realised we were in the wrong. Our paradigm has shifted. Saul recognised that all he had held dear had been turned on its head when he encountered Jesus. What had appeared so certain, so fundamental and true, Saul now saw in a different light. I wonder whether 3 days in darkness gave him time to think, time for a bit of soul searching, maybe. He certainly ate nothing during this time, and I wonder whether it was a deliberate fast, a time of seeking God, a time of repentance, maybe. At the beginning, I said that some of us have questioned whether we had heard from God because it wasn't dramatic. But don't forget that Ananias questioned his gentle encounter with God when God told him to go to Saul. Ananias knew that Saul was harming Christians, but he didn't know that Saul was chosen by God to proclaim God's name to the Jews and Gentiles. Ananias displayed great faith and bravery, choosing to obey God despite appearances otherwise. And as we've been seeing all through Mark's Gospel, Jesus continually uses unlikely people, like you and me, and is always working in ways that we don't understand, we can't explain or second guess. Paul himself shared these events at least twice that we have a record of. Firstly, when he spoke to the crowd in Jerusalem in Acts 22, verses 3 to 16. Ironically, this is where he had intended to send Christian prisoners, and instead he ends up sharing his testimony of meeting with Jesus. And then again, Paul gives his testimony before King Agrippa and Festus the governor in Acts 26, verses 4 to 18. Here, Saul is proclaiming God's name to Gentiles and their kings, just as God had told Ananias in verse 15. So what can we learn from this dramatic turnaround of events? Wouldn't it be great if all unjust leaders had a paradigm shift in their belief in 3 days flat? Here's some of the things I thought of, and I encourage you to seek what God is saying to you today through this passage, whether that's dramatic or simple. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you need to ask Jesus to reveal himself to you? He will surely turn up if you ask. When was the last time you met with Jesus? What did you talk about? What new gift or grace or mission did he reveal to you? what might be your blind spot. And please note, it's especially difficult to see a blind spot. The clue is in the name. Why not ask Jesus about yours? Have courage. Do we recognise and obey God when we hear a still small voice like Ananias? Or do we want the dramatic Damascus Road experience only? Are we all out for God as Saul was? It was good intentions. We also need to listen as God guides us deeper in his ways, rather than doing what we think is right without listening for his guidance. Saul initially had got it very wrong, but this didn't stop God from using him. Finally, like Saul, or Paul as his name changed to, I wonder whether we use our own story to tell others about Jesus. For the average person, it's a friend's personal faith story that brings them to know God. Not a dramatic one like Saul, but one that's easily relatable to. May you be blessed as you spend time with God this week. Amen.